We now bring to these microphones David James. As promised, we're going to have a conversation focusing not on one single issue this time, but we're going to look ahead into 2018. Now, last week we went back through 2017 and talked about some of the major issues that we discussed, and David suggested, hey, let's hold what seems to be coming up in 2018 so we can spend the entire time focusing on that. So that's what we're going to do. David, I guess we catch you headed out for your first ministry trip of this new year.
That's right. I'm just getting ready to head out the door to go to the Philippines to be with Word of Life, as I do a couple of times a year. And this time I'll be teaching Signs, Wonders, and the Charismatic Movement to the second and third year students, and then God's Plan Through the Ages to the first-year students. And, of course, that's one of the courses that I teach most frequently, 5 to 6, 7 times a year sometimes. So I'm up to about 50 times with that course, and it's a course I really love to teach. And it actually ties into some of what we'll be talking about today concerning dispensationalism.
You know what? You're like I am. I don't need new sermons as I travel in a itinerant mission type of operation. I just need a new crowd. But you're going back to these same places. Must be pretty difficult to stay on top of everything, and we'll be praying for you as you travel. Now, as I mentioned just a moment ago, we took a look at some of the most important topics from 2017 last week. Now we're going to be looking ahead to 2018. It might be helpful to just quickly go over some of those major issues for 2018 that we need to discuss this week.
Well, there are so many things that we could touch on, but let me just run over a few of the ones that I think are going to continue to be a major issue for the church and the world as a whole. The first would be that Pope Francis, I think, will be continue to be one of the most controversial popes, and on several fronts. I think the evangelical church will continue to move away from a literal, grammatical, historical method of interpretation, and I think that's going to lead to increasing attacks on dispensationalism and even leading into some anti-Semitism in various forms, maybe even within the church. I think the biblical gospel is likely to be under siege like never before, especially with the ongoing resurgence of five-point Calvinism. And tied to the problem of sound biblical interpretation, one topic that we've covered several times is sensationalism in teaching, preaching, and writing concerning prophecy and the end times. I think the LGBT agenda, now called the LGBTQ agenda, and they keep adding letters to it, I think this will continue to be front and center, and the culture wars and gender issues are likely to get even more strange as we move forward. And then as part of this issue, there's this ongoing battle against the biblical institution of monogamous marriage between a man and a woman as a foundation for society.
Well, there's the list, dear friends. So now, David, let's go back and look at some of those items or issues that you have mentioned. Let's think about the Pope in the Catholic Church for a moment. What do you see ahead for 2018?
Well, the things continue to heat up. It's interesting. He seems to have more opposition within the Catholic Church than he does outside the Catholic Church. He's loved more by people outside the Church. He tends to be somewhat of a renegade in many ways, especially theologically. I was looking at a CNN article from back in September that said the conservatives accused the Pope of spreading heresy, and there were some 40 signatories on a paper that was signed in August, and they were looking to accuse the Pope not necessarily of being a heretic personally, but of supporting heretical positions on marriage, the moral life, and the Eucharist even. And the moral life would include the issue of abortion. On the other hand, one of the top Islamic experts within the Catholic Church has said that Pope Francis is the Pope of Islam. And this has to do with many overtures he's made toward Islamic leaders. In fact, having an Islamic imam be with him in the Vatican and having discussions with him about things that they could agree on. And I think also he's sort of become a darling to Protestants as well because of his non-traditional traditional Catholic views. So it's a really strange situation.
You know, another issue you mentioned involves the evangelical church continuing its move away from dispensationalism. Now, this does not, to me, as I'm watching, seem to be showing any signs of letting up in the coming year.
No, I don't think it is. I think there's been a resurgence of Reformed theology, and with that is covenant theology, which, in a nutshell, says that God does not have a future for Israel in his program, and that the church has essentially replaced Israel in God's program, and all the promises that were made to Israel that seem to have been literal promises of land and descendants and someone sitting on the literal throne of David in a rebuilt temple, all those literal promises are now being spiritualized and said to be fulfilled in the church. And this is leading to, with a new generation of guys who are holding to this, coming out of colleges and seminaries that are teaching it, this, they are not simply non-dispensational in their approach. They are actually anti-dispensational. And if you do searches on the internet and, for example, dispensationalism heresy or dispensationalism as a cult, you'll find many, many harsh things are being said and written that are attacks on what we would understand to be the natural outcome of simply taking God at his word in the Bible literally.
You know, as you noted, many of those who go after dispensationalism, they hold to covenant theology, and most of them are very strong Calvinists. Do you see this being a major issue going forward into 2018?
It absolutely is. Some of these things that we're talking about, they're not necessarily new things that are coming, but they are trends that continue to build that have been going on for the last several years. I would say that theologically, that Calvinism and covenant theology, that they necessarily have to be connected, but historically, the way I put it is they've been connected at the hip. And so what's happening is, as covenant theology, Reformed theology, is making headways all throughout evangelicalism, so too is five-point Calvinism. And my main issue with five-point Calvinism can be summarized this way: which comes first, faith or regeneration? And the five-point Calvinist says that an elect person is regenerated so that he can believe, whereas we would say that someone hears the gospel and they believe and then they are regenerated. And the practical side of this is that you will never be able to hear a five-point Calvinist say to a lost person, God loves you and Christ died for you, because if you're not one of the elect, and they can't know if you're one of the elect, then they don't know if God loves you in a saving way, and they would also say that Christ died only for the elect. And I can't imagine anything worse than not being able to tell a lost person that God loves them and Christ died for them. And I'm seeing this across the world. It's dividing churches. Every country I go to, this is a major issue.
Yes, I see the exact same thing. And you're traveling around the world. I'm traveling locally and here around the United States into church after church, and that seems to be a major problem in the church here in America especially, but as you just reported, around the world as well. Well, let's talk about the problem of the sensationalist prophecy teachers, which is also tied to biblical interpretation. Now, is there any particular direction that seems to be the direction they're headed for this new year?
Well, I think some of the same things that we've discussed in this past year will continue forward, but something I've been watching very closely over the past month or so is that L.A. Marzulli, who is one who holds to what I call Nephilim UFO eschatology, that there's going to be a resurgence of Nephilim on the earth, going back to what we saw in Genesis chapter 6, and he's the one who looks at elongated skulls around the world and said that Nephilim have been present throughout history. Well, what has happened over this past month is he has been predicting a disclosure of UFO contacts and extraterrestrial contacts, and he's been citing things that you've probably even seen on Drudge Report. There have been several articles even in the mainstream media, and so he is saying that this is a soft disclosure, and so he's seeing this as a fulfillment of what he's been saying is going to happen, that the reality of extraterrestrials visiting the Earth is going to be revealed by the government. And I think what's happening is that his approach to eschatology is tying these things together, and ultimately, I believe it has a potential of being part of the great deception that is going to come during the tribulation period. So rather than actually solving the problem, I'm really concerned that it's going to add to that problem.
You know, it's interesting to remember Matthew chapter 24, Luke chapter 21. That is a record of the Olivet Discourse, the very important prophetic passage of Scripture that deals with Jesus' message at just the time before he's crucified, focused on Bible prophecy and deception. He mentions it four times in verses 4, 5, 11, and 24 of Matthew 24. Very key to understanding what's going to be happening this next year. Well, finally, David, what do you see coming with regard to the LGBT, and I think you added a Q to that, agenda? I mean, I think this may be the most concerning issue that we're going to talk about, and the attack on the traditional biblical understanding of gender and the family.
Well, I agree 100%, and I see things that are being brought even especially into the public schools, and I think this is where the front line of attack is going to be with our children, that they're being exposed to same-sex ideas, gender confusion. I've read about things where even a kindergartner came out as transgender. Can you imagine the confusion that this causes in a kindergarten class? We also have the battle going on with President Trump, said that back in July that he wouldn't allow any transgender individuals to serve in the U.S. military, and yet December, a second federal judge ruled against that prohibition. And then, of course, the Supreme Court is still working on the Masterpiece Cake Shop versus the Colorado Civil Rights Commission, where this baker refused to make a cake for a gay couple, and this has gone all the way to the Supreme Court. So it's going to be quite a year, I think, in this area.
And I think then my thought was right now, as you concluded that statement, we need to stay in the book to see how the Lord deals with each and every one of these issues, do we not?
We absolutely do, and we need to take the Bible seriously, and we need to learn how to interpret it correctly.
David James, the man that I have a weekly conversation with as we take an issue, focus on it, an issue that should concern the entire body of Christ, and then we give you the biblical understanding of it. David, have Journey's Mercies out to the Philippines. I guess next time we talk, you'll be out there, and we'll have another conversation.
I'll look forward to it. Thank you, Jimmy.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to take a look at the book, bring all the issues we've discussed on the broadcast today down to a biblical understanding of how these issues, these items, these reports are setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. That's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today.